next Sunday. If you'd open your Bibles here to 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll give you plenty of time to get over there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We are 2 Timothy, yep, the third chapter. We're going to be talking about signs of the last days that Jesus told us to watch for. Let me share quickly, we do have coming up our Wednesday night continued prayer study as we talk about using Scripture to pray, Scripture praying. And then also on the 28th, we have our men's breakfast, the last Saturday of the month at 9 a.m. Don't forget that on March the 8th, that's coming up real soon. That's time change already. And so we'll be springing forward on the 8th. And then on Easter Sunday, which will be on the first Sunday of April the 5th, we'll have an 8:30 breakfast, 9:30 Sunday school, and a 10:30 morning worship hour. So we'll have that up there, and John will be working on that a little bit later. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he tells him, "This know also." Now the word "know" here in Scripture, it is the same Greek word that Thomas asked Jesus, "How can we know the way?" And that's when Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And the word "know" here means to be sure of by having the right facts. So when Thomas says, "Lord, how can we know the way? How can I be sure of the right facts to know that I'm going to heaven, that you're coming again?" Paul is also writing here, "This know." He's assuming that we already have the right facts, that we are Christians, that we are believers. He says, "This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof." He says, "From such turn away." Whenever I used to read this, I used to think about the first thing that Paul put on this list here in this area. He's talking about, be aware, Timothy, perilous times, crazy times are coming. And so you're going to think of a lot of the things on the list would fit into that, but the first thing that he makes mention of is not what comes to your mind. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. That doesn't seem like a bad thing as far as you're thinking, like murders and child stealing or, you know, bad things. But he says, but I want you to understand, everything on that list comes from lovers of your own self. We call that today narcissism. Narcissism isn't something that we just made up a name that's coming, that's here now. Paul said that God directed him that that's what's going to be. We're going to have a lot of narcissism that will bring about all these other things. And so he's talking about the last days. He's letting them know there's going to be some factual things to be watching for. But I want you to understand that Jesus, first and foremost, and I think everybody agrees with this, Jesus made it very, very clear that he never commanded his followers to predict dates. No man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. But he repeatedly commanded us to watch. Watch and pray. Watch, watch, watch and pray. And the Bible presents the last days. This is very important here as we go through this. The Bible presents the last days not as a single moment, but as a convergence of conditions, very important, spiritual conditions, moral conditions, political conditions, economical conditions. And when those conditions begin to align with each other, when they start forming a unit at the same time, Scripture is telling you and I as believers, pay attention. Pay attention. Now, as we get into this area here on signs of the last days, Jesus told us what to watch for. And we're going to look at just 9 things. I don't know that I'll get them done today. We'll find out, won't we? And the first thing I want you to consider here is we look at these conditions, okay? Remember, that's what we're looking for, is the first one here. If I get this thing to work here. It worked good up when I'm on the platform. There it is. Oh, go back one there, John. Deception increases. There will be an increase in deception. Over in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, notice verse 3. He says, "For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." The first, and maybe it's even if you were to go into the gospel accounts of Matthew in particular, the first and the most emphasized sign or condition of Jesus speaking of will be deception. Now, I want you to understand what said, well, so far you haven't turned to anything that Jesus said. I'm sorry, the whole Bible is what Jesus said. And so the first and most emphasized sign that Jesus gave was deception. Do you understand the power of deception? The whole world, the Bible says, is deceived right now. There are more people who are deceived thinking they're going to heaven than those that are going there. I know people who have lived the most ungodly lives, and when their loved one dies, who was very ungodly, they say, well, they're probably looking down upon us and smiling. That's deception. He warned about false teachers. He warned about false Christs. He warned about false doctrine, that those things would increase, not decrease. And even more, as we see, we are drawing closer to this time of end. What makes our generation right now unique is not just merely the presence of deception, but its speed, its reach, how far it goes, how fast it goes, and maybe even worse, how normalized it is. The normalization of deception. Folks, watch. I don't even have to tell you to watch. There are people that think, guys that think that they're girls. That is weird. The Greek word that comes to mind is stupid. But I'm convinced, listen, I am seriously convinced that you cannot be that stupid. You are deceived. Satan hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That is the power of deception. And he says that will be normal. They'll think that's normal. And I'll tell you what, if our generation is not seeing it, then you are deceived. Truth is now subjective. Scripture is reinterpreted to fit the culture because we don't want to offend anybody. Entire belief systems are built on feelings rather than upon the Word of God. Jesus said that deception would be so persuasive as it comes to the very end before he calls his people out. It'll be so strong that even the elect, if God didn't save them out of it, could be deceived from it. Look, if you would, at Matthew 24. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is speaking. And we'll just look at two verses quickly because of so much we want to cover. But in verse 24, he says, "For there shall rise or arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before." And we're seeing these conditions come in full strength. As we see the deception increases, the second thing we see is discernment decreases or declines. Back in 2 Timothy, we read in verse 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." They have no discernment. Connected to deception is the decline of biblical discernment within the church. Paul warned that a time would come when people would not put up with true Bible instruction, doctrine, preaching. Today, repentance is replaced with affirmation. We just want to affirm people that you're okay. Holiness is replaced with tolerance. Truth with relevance. What's relevant right now? The gospel is being diluted to avoid, and I kind of lean that way already, towards offending other people. And yet the Bible already told us that if that the gospel will offend, they that believe not think that it's foolish. The foolishness of preaching, they already think it's foolish. So I want us to see that the spiritual drifting is not just taking place outside the walls of the church. They're taking place inside the building. It's amazing how over the years we have seen people who have strong, I don't know if I should use this word or not, convictions until. And by the way, a conviction... Convictions are things that you would die for. And yet, people say, well, this is our conviction. And then something happens in their family, and it's no longer conviction. And they begin this. There are preachers who would stand up and say that it's supposed to be the office of a bishop is to be one man that's married to one woman. Not a second married man. He's disqualified until they become divorced. And they stay in the ministry. That was a conviction, a biblical conviction they had until it happened to them, and then they changed. And when you allow that to happen within the leadership of the church, then that leadership has to allow other people a little leniency on their convictions when they change as well. It will happen more and more and more. So the drifting is not just out there where people are being blinded and deceived, but inside that people don't have godly discernment. They're not seeing things from God's perspective, which means that they're not walking in the Spirit, that they're not spending time in the Word, to let the Word be the lamp unto their feet and the light unto their path. So we have this area of deception increasing. We have this area of discernment decreasing or declining. The third area that Jesus talked about to watch for, remember, we're only supposed to be alert to these things. Do we see deception? Do we see a lack of discernment by Christians? Yes. Disputes are declared. Back in Matthew 24. In verse number 6, and ye shall hear. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So this is Jesus speaking. He says that he speaks of wars taking place, rumors of wars, nation rising against nation. And while war has always existed in the history of mankind, Scripture points to a time or an era where conflict becomes global. Very important. See, we're living in a generation that's seen things that have never happened before. It's going global. It not only is the conflict becomes global, but they are interconnected. They are constantly escalating. Today, if you watch the news, there is clearly regional conflicts. And here's the trick. The regional conflicts can affect the whole world these days. What's going on in the Middle East is a regional conflict. If that thing was to unleash, it will have global effects. Jesus says this would be taking place. Alliances are shifting. Who used to be our ally is in question now, whether it be Mexico, Canada, who knows? You can go on and name the list. They're shifting. Canada has even talked about doing things with China now, who is a global enemy that will be here in the last days, no question about it, the kings of the north. Warfare is changing. Technology makes warfare something we've never seen before. Technology makes warfare faster. It makes it deadlier. And in the process, it makes it more impersonal, because now we can use drones. And I was just watching on the news, who was it? There was a parade taking place, all Android robots. They all look the same. True video footage, and they're all marching down the street. We don't see people losing their lives anymore. Death means nothing anymore. And so we're seeing this area of this disputes are declared. Our world today, I think I could say this safely, our world today lives under the constant tension of almost peace and almost catastrophe. China, Russia, the U.S., Israel, Iran, and then you got North Korea. You got everybody popping up everywhere right now, and everybody, I'll guarantee you, is on edge while we go about our business. I have to give kudos, if I could. I don't know if anybody listened to Marco Rubio's speech in the U.K., anybody? It's a pretty good speech. You need to, I don't have time to get into it, but you need to take time and Google him up there. And listen, the man is an incredible man. I like him. George doesn't. I'm just guessing. See, conflicts are rising. So we have these areas. We have the deception. We have the lack of discernment. We have the disputes are being declared. We have, as we saw in our text, that there would be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And so we have disasters are determined. They're already been determined. That's what's going to happen. Yep. This is another sign that Jesus mentioned, which would be natural upheaval. Earthquakes, famines, pestilences, volcanoes, distress among nations. But notice what he says here in verse number 8 of Matthew 24. All these are the beginning of sorrows. That's very important that Jesus says that. He called these things the beginning of sorrows. This is a phrase I kind of alluded to this morning that describes the birth pains of a woman when she's getting ready to bear a child. There is, as she is getting closer and closer and closer, there is an increased frequency and increased intensity of those labor pains. I remember being there when Althea had children. And as she was going through that area, I would offer assistance by letting her squeeze my hand to death. Man, she would crush that thing sometimes. But as she got closer and closer, the frequency of the labor began boom, boom, boom. Yep. And they got harder and harder and more painful. That's what Jesus is calling this. As you look at these signs that I'm telling you about, at one point in time, they might have been one here or one there or one here or one there, and they were not even associated. He goes, but when they're all coming together at the same time, more frequent, more intense, he goes, this is just the beginning before it brings forth something. So we have the disasters are already determined. A lot of these things are over-layering each other. They're overlapping each other. And I want to put this in there again because it's so important. They're not just layering each other or overlapping each other here in America. They're doing it globally. These are global things that are happening. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 22 that even creation during the end begins to groan in itself. The earth is like, it's getting worse and worse, and the earth begins to groan. And this is where all these things are beginning to take place. And so we have disasters are determined. Y'all ever hear of any disasters around the world? Any wars or at least rumors of wars or... The next one he gives us here is disorder develops. This is an interesting one. Disorder develops. The Bible warns of the dramatic rise of lawlessness. The dramatic rise of lawlessness. Not simply crime, but literally the erosion of moral restraint. When God's standards are rejected, chaos will always follow. In Isaiah chapter 5, if you'd flip over there, Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah declares something in his time of writing that I think that we see in our day and age here, just even in America. In Isaiah 5, verse number 20, I remember the first time I read this as a new Christian, I thought, wow, this is pretty wild. In verse 20, he says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Here he says, here's going to be a time when people are going to say that the good things are actually bad and the bad things are actually good. The things that we would call light as a believer, they say that's darkness. And the things that we declare as darkness, they say, no, that's the glorious light. They put bitter in place of saying that it's what's sweet, and what's sweet is actually bitter. And so here we see this disorder beginning to develop. When you reject God and everything, by the way, everything that we're seeing in our nation right now, just as a national level, Minnesota, California, some of these, and those are just the two major ones right now. Do you realize that Texas has had more arrests of illegal aliens and criminals than Minnesota has, without one violent act of rioting? Because Texas supports what's morally correct. But over here, you go to Minnesota, and you got a group of people who deny moral rights. You got, folks, listen, we're so corrupt today. They were telling us for years that we were running out of Social Security. It wasn't running out. They were stealing it. I personally, this is just me, if you don't agree, that's okay. This is not a conviction, it's a statement, okay? But I personally believe that God raises up men for purposes. He did with Nebuchadnezzar, he did with Cyrus. I think he has doing it with the leaders of all of our nations today. But I am thanking God that we do not have a Kamala Harris as our president. And I'm thanking God that we do have a President Trump. You might not like his personality. You don't vote personality, you vote principles. It's righteousness that exalts a nation, and sin will be a reproach. We have been a reproach for years, and we're seeing that turn. May 21st, he's calling for a rededication of the United States of America back to God as one nation under God again. Folks, that is God moving. And he uses men. And that's what you call grace. Now, it won't last forever. We know that. That's why you can't put your confidence in men, because one day he'll be off the scene and be the Democrats back in there again. Who knows? That's just how it goes. But we see these things, and God gives a little bit of a reprieve by his grace and his mercy. But we see the disasters are determined. We see disorder is developing over and over and over. Justice becomes, when you think of Minnesota, for instance, justice becomes selective. Authority is mocked. Accountability is despised. And Jesus says, when you see lawlessness, iniquity increasing, what happens from that, what triggers that, is that the love of many, he says, shall wax cold. No longer are we benevolent towards each other. No longer is there empathy, but outrage. No longer compassion, but division. Folks, if something doesn't change in our nation, we're a nation divided against itself, cannot stand. That's right. But we're just one nation. And if you watch the world news, you'll also see other nations are going through this. Marco Rubio has called upon the UK and reminded them of our history together, and that we're going back to the direction of Christianity as a nation, he said. And we invite you to come with us. The next one is denial of deity. Back in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, this know also that in the last times, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but there's the word, denying the power thereof, of such turn away. So there's the denial of deity. He says that in the last days, this is what people will become like. It's not just there's the earth groaning and there's all these pestilences and diseases. Not only is there wars and disgruntled nations with each other, but individually even, it's being impacted. People would become more lovers of their own selves. And why we are so caught up with taking selfies of ourselves, right? Some people's Facebook, you can go to and look at their photos, and it's only them. I mean, think about that. This would be like back in the old days before we had all the cameras on our phones. We had wallets, guys, right? And we had our pictures in our wallets, did we not? And imagine a guy saying, hey, show me your picture in your wallet. And the guy takes his wallet out, flips it, and just shows pictures of himself. You think, well, I'm getting away from that guy. I mean, that's something wrong there. That's not natural. And yet you can literally go to probably hundreds and probably thousands of people who store all their pictures of Facebook or whatever other social media out there, and a lot of times it's just them. If you're standing on the outside, it's the girl thing, I'm sure. They're standing on the outside of all. Now, if you're on this side, you have this arm out. If you're on this side, you have this arm out. Now, I'm not saying that's bad or good or wrong or anything. It's just one of those things you see. One person does it, everybody's doing it. You don't see guys doing this on their pictures. Do you, George? Yeah, but are they the real guys or are they? I'm not. Denial of deity, self-control, no self-control, disobedient, unthankful, proud, hostile towards the truth. The list goes on and on and on. Never has self-worship been so open as it is today. Everybody has what they want for their own label. Do you notice how that thing just keeps adding on? LGBTQRSTUV. Everybody wants to be on the label. Yeah, and maybe I'm going too far here. But even churches today, we want our own brand. Why don't we just lift up Christ? Just preach Christ crucified. You don't need a brand. Just lift up Christ. I just need to move on. And by the way, I don't know that these are even true and accurate, okay? I just want to let you know. How about deceitful dependence? What do we mean by deceitful dependence? Revelation 13, if you're taking notes, verses 14 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11, if you're taking notes. In all of these, you're going to find out the scripture is pointing towards economic pressure. Pressure to conform. Pressure to be controlled. Systems are buying and selling. Will be tightly controlled. You say, well, we're not there yet. We're prepared for being there. Everything's in place. It's the timing. It's the timing. And by the way, again, I could be wrong here, so please don't come up to me later and say, Brother Kevin, I disagree with you on that. I might disagree with myself on it. But I think, personal opinion, that this stuff was a lot closer to taking place than we thought. And I think that God, within all the world, has to be in agreement with this for it to go global. And I think Trump messed that up. Now, I'm not anything about promoting him. Well, I guess I am. But I do think that God uses men. And he should be using you as well in some way, shape, or form. He just has raised him up to a whole different level. And I think it has put the screeching brakes on what everything was ready to do. That's how God works, folks. You understand that. There was a church in Revelation who had a woman there who was Jezebel, who was doing all kinds of vile things and teaching it in the church. And God even said to that situation, he goes, I gave her time to repent. And she would not. And God has raised up the right men at the right time and women at the right time within even our nation by itself to maybe slow this thing down or put the brakes on momentarily. Won't stop it because I already read the end of the book. But they're slowing all these things down, which are hindering the global society to do it. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have brought this message. Today we're seeing a preparation for a growing dependence on centralized systems. Digital monitoring, all even on the basics. You can't even go to Walmart today and go to the self-checkout without looking over and seeing your face is being recorded. Folks, that's not just a new thing. There's a purpose with all of this. When you see these things, these signs, he says, just keep an eye out. Be watching this stuff. Folks, this has been going on. This has been going on for a long, 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 long time, preparing for that time. I remember as a little kid going to the grocery store when it was S&H green stands, there were blue chip stands with mom, and seeing on everything that you could buy the UPC code. And they never used it. They never scanned anything back when I was a kid. It was there, though. And it was there again when I was a teenager. It was there when I was an adult. And all of a sudden, they began to use it. It's like boiling a frog. You put a frog in boiling hot water, and he's going to jump out. You put him in a pot of water that's cool and cold, and then turn a fire on underneath it, and the frog is designed that their bodies will acclimate. And so as it gets warmer, his body acclimates to that temperature. As it gets warmer, it acclimates to that temperature, and a frog will literally stay in that pot and boil itself to death because it was done gradually. And it was accepted. We have accepted it, we're using it, and now we scan everything in our grocery stores, do we not? Using our scanners, our cards, some places are already using inserts into their hand, on your telephone, you name it. There's stores over in China that you walk in and it reads your face. There's nobody that even works there. The stores have shelves. You walk in, it scans your face. You go in there, you pick up what you're wanting. They're not worried about you stealing because they already got your face. And when you come back through, it gets your face and it gets your card number, and it reads everything that you have before you go back out again. It's already being done. You don't deal with people. China's ahead of everybody in all this stuff, by the way. They got the tightest fist around everybody, too. Now, let me bring another one here. A deceitful dependence, and a declaration of the truth. This is an interesting one. In Matthew 24 again, in verse number 14, look what Jesus says. He's already talked about other stuff we talked about. Pestilence is all up in verse 7, 8, all that stuff. But he comes down to chapter 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. In this area of declaring of truth, probably one of the most, probably the most hopeful sign that Jesus gave is that the gospel would be preached to all the nations before the end comes. In fact, he says, then shall the end come. For most of human history, reaching the world almost seemed impossible. Today we have technology, which Daniel, by the way, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, said that there would be an increase of knowledge, prophetic. But we have technology, we have translation, we have instant communications. Think about it, folks. Go back just when you were younger. We didn't even have this stuff. You carry more in this thing here today than they had when they were sending ships up into space. We have to pay for long distance calls. Man, I can get on here and I can watch. I might be 1,500 miles away from my youngest grandkids, but I can get on here and have them call me FaceTime instantly. Instant communication. People are getting saved if you keep an eye out on the influence. There are certain nations where people, they're just flocking to Christ. And it hasn't even been in some of them because there's somebody that's coming up, hey, personally talking to them. They have access to the internet, have gone on there and have found a gospel message and have repented and is going out from that there. That is the hope sign, if you would. That is the one, he says, when this is happening, when everybody, you ever thought about this? I know we hear it all the time, but you ever thought about who is the last person to believe? Who will that be? There has to be the last person that just makes it in by the grace of God. Who will be the person that will be the one credited, if you can use that term, for reaching that person? Went too far. Dispersion returns. Or maybe I could even say reverses. Isaiah 11 is an interesting area. Sometimes we read through these Old Testament books, realizing that what they're writing then is for later. That's why they're called the prophets. In chapter 11 of Isaiah, verse number 11, he's writing here and says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again, the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the Isles of the Sea. You ever wondered who the Isles of the Sea are? Anybody have any ideas? Nobody? Or are you just afraid to say? And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners. That's flat earth theology. We were just talking about that, weren't we, Ray? From the four corners of the earth, the north, the south, the east, and the west. Now keep that in mind and jump over to chapter 43. So there's going to be a gathering back again of Israel that has been spread abroad from all four corners of the earth. Chapter 43, Isaiah adds verse 5, "Fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather them from the west. And I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth." There will be the dispersion returning. Remember, Israel was scattered everywhere. 1948, Israel becomes a nation again, which, by the way, let me just say this, is a miracle within itself. They become a nation again, and God says that the last days, one of the things is that they will begin to come home. They'll come back. They can't help it. It's appointed, according to Scripture. They're going to fulfill Isaiah. Repeatedly, he points to Israel as a part of the roles of what's going to take place in the last day. The church is going, and Israel comes back into the main picture again.
Marco Polo's reported found Jews in China.
Yeah, yeah. They were everywhere. They went everywhere. After 2,000 years, Israel will completely begin to return to the land. They're making preparation. If you go to Temple Institute, just Google it up, Temple Institute. It's a place in Jerusalem. You can actually buy stuff through their store. The stuff that you buy will be interesting things, but it'll be things that will help promote. The money is going to the preparation of the third temple. The third temple. Remember, Solomon's temple was destroyed. And then you had a Herod's temple built. That was the one that was there when Jesus was there. And he said that every stone would be taken off of it and left. Not one stone would be left upon another. That was fulfilled. That was the second temple. And by the way, when they built that second temple, a lot of the young generation of Jews were rejoicing. I preached that not long ago, a couple years ago, that the young generation was rejoicing because there was a temple. The old generation was weeping because it wasn't as magnificent as Solomon's temple. So there was weeping and rejoicing at the same time. In the first temple, remember, God showed his acceptance of it when he came down and filled the temple with smoke. And the glory of the Lord was revealed. Then there was the second one, and now we have the third one. And by the way, the second one that they said wasn't as glorious and it didn't have the glory of the Lord shine in it like Solomon's. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather see the glory of the Lord in smoke, or would you rather see the Lord himself in flesh? Which one would you rather see? Flesh? Yeah. Now, the glory of the Lord in the temple of Solomon, that would have been amazing to watch that. Fire came down, consumed the sacrifice. That would have been fantastic. But Solomon has that in all of his temple. This other one, which was lesser according to the older, actually had Jesus walk in there. Jesus himself appeared in there. Not in that glory, but in the flesh and blood. And so this Temple Institute is a real place in Jerusalem that you can look, and they will keep you up to date what and where they are at on that third temple, which has to be there for the tribulation period. That's where Satan or the Antichrist will go in and sit down and declare he's God halfway through. They have all of the priest materials and clothing already. They have their red heifer. They got him in Texas. They did. I want you to see how God works, folks. They got them in Texas. They could not find red heifers anywhere. And when they looked for these things, they got magnifying glasses that are looking. If there's one hair that's white, it's canceled out. It's got to be a perfectly red heifer. They bought five in Texas. I think one of them failed. At least one failed.
I think they had 2 years
of age. The right age. And no blemishes. Now here's the kicker. God in his wisdom uses the stupidity of man, if I can use that term, when COVID hit. By the way, COVID was man-made. It had a purpose, okay? When COVID hit, as bad as it was, a lot of people actually died because of COVID. And those people that stirred this thing up will have to give an account. But good comes out of even bad things. You see, it was after COVID was backed off that they realized that they received a phone call from a Texas farm rancher that you might want to come and check out my cattle that I have. I think I have some red heifer here for you. So Israel sent a delegation over to inspect them. Said, we want five of them. COVID is involved in that. Because during COVID, you couldn't go where other people were at. You remember that? Even if you did, when it started easing up, they had the stickers on the ground. You had to be 6 feet away and stuff, all that. But you couldn't go to church. They had all that stuff. Well, when they were having, by the way, when COVID's going on, cows are still having calves. And when they have a calf, they have to have a guy that will come out that will verify things, and they tag them in their ears for proof of everything, the lineage, everything on these cattle. So they tag them in the ear, which would be a blemish because it now tagged the ear and blemished the ear. Those guys couldn't come out and do that because of COVID. Those cows that they bought never were tagged, thus no blemish. And they purchased them, and they have those ready in Israel, ready to sacrifice, to begin. Right now, they got, as far as I know, I think they, from what I've read, they've got the Ark of the Covenant. They've got all the priestly things. They got everything ready to go, materials for the building, almost like David had for Solomon. It's ready to go. People in Israel are coming back. The disbursement is returning, as Isaiah said, to prepare for the worship again. I think that you'd be surprised what's going to be ready already. Folks, if the rapture happens, they've got to have that building up and going, and that's got to be peace settled. When you see all the peace agreements over there, part of that, I guarantee, is going to be on that Temple Mount situation because they have to have that their temple up there where they're not favored up there. There has to be a settlement that's coming. Be watching the news. Israel is always at the center of everything. That's why the Bible tells us, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. If we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that means the Prince of Peace has arrived. Now there's going to be a false peace, for they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come. But I'll tell you what, things are happening, and the disbursement is arriving. Now let me just say this in closing here, if I could. This is the most important part of anything that I have said. Most important, if you take all nine of these things, and if you take each one of them individually, any one of these signs by themselves could be dismissed. Now, that's just coincidence. But when you take these signs that Jesus said to watch for and you take them together at the same time on a global scale with increasing intensity, they form a pattern that Scripture tells us watch for. It's not like one's here, one's here. They're all beginning to happen together. They're coming together. And when you pull the plug on a drain, the outskirts of that water is going slow. But as it gets closer and closer and closer, it speeds up. It will speed up very, very quickly. Now, Jesus had given these signs clearly that we should watch for, not to bring panic, not to make us scared, not to bring fear, but to prepare us for being ready. Being ready. The Bible says, awake to righteousness. Now is not a time to sleep, and I'm talking about spiritually. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And then he says this, and I speak this to your shame. To your shame. Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, lift up your eyes, for your redemption is drawing near. It's getting closer. We are one day closer to the Lord's return than we were yesterday. And the Lord only asks that we live like it. That we live like it. Are there people that you need to tell and talk to? I know there is. But say they haven't listened in the past. Doesn't matter. Tell them again. I'll guarantee you there's nobody that will be told 1,000 times and regret that they listened to you on that last one. Who knows, that may be the last person. I just wanted to shoot this one in here real quickly here, just to kind of help us to realize things are really happening, folks. I get excited about it. I want to go home. I really do. Do I got plans? I got plans. But you know what? They're only temporary plans that I have at best. They're just temporal. To be in that glory-filled place with the Lord.
When we go, they can have it all.
They will get it all. Let's stand for prayer. Just be alert. Be watching. Watch with biblical perspective. Father, we come to you and we thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for your word, for your instruction, your counsel. And Lord, we don't know all things, how they're going to work out. We don't know how it's going to go completely, but you have given us enough that we not be caught off. You have given us signs. You've given us warnings that we need, because we can become dull. We can become, as you even told us, that a good soldier can become entangled in the cares of this life. That happens way too much for us as believers. We get so wrapped up in obtaining and gathering, and yet the return of the Lord is getting nearer. How near? I don't know. But you said in your word, our redemption is nearer than when we first believed. Add your blessing on us this week. Change our perspective. Help us to have biblical discernment. Help us not to be those that are decreasing in discernment. Help us becoming more and more discerning of what's going on in our world today concerning your return. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.